The picture of a proper human civilization is indirectly described here. In a perfect human civilization, there must be a class of men fully trained as perfect Brahmanas. Similarly, there must be Kshatriyas to rule the country very nicely, according to the injunctions of the Shastras. And there must be Vaishyas who can protect the cows. The word Gavaha indicates that cows should be given protection. Because the Vedic civilization is lost, cows are not protected. But instead indiscriminately killed in slaughterhouses. Such are the acts of demons. Therefore, this is a demoniac civilization. The Varnashram Dharma mentioned here is essential for human civilization. Unless there is a Brahmana to guide, a Kshatriya to rule perfectly, and a perfect Vaishya to produce food and protect the cows, how will people live peacefully? It is impossible. Another point is that the trees should also be given protection. During its lifetime, a tree should not be cut for industrial purposes. In Kali Yuga, trees are indiscriminately and unnecessarily cut for industry, in particular for paper mills that manufacture a profuse quantity of paper for the publication of demoniac propaganda, nonsensical literature, huge quantities of newspapers, and many other paper products. This is a sign of a demoniac civilization. The cutting of trees is prohibited unless necessary for the service of Lord Vishnu. Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Work done as a sacrifice for Lord Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. But if the paper mills stop producing paper, one may argue, how can our ISKCON literature be published? The answer is that the paper mills should manufacture paper only for the publication of ISKCON literature. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai!
Because ISKCON literature is published for the service of Lord Vishnu. This literature clarifies our relationship with Lord Vishnu. And therefore the publication of ISKCON literature is the performance of yajna. Yajnyarthat karmanonyatra loko yam karma bandhanaha. Yajna must be performed, as indicated by the superior authorities. The cutting of trees simply to manufacture paper for the publication of unwanted literature is the greatest sinful act. Om Ajnanatimirantasya Chakshuran Vinitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ತತ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರೀ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೇ ದೇವೀ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ ವಾಂಚಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಯತ್ರ ಯತ್ರ ದ್ವಿಜಾ ಗಾವೋ ವೇದಾ ವರ್ಣಾಶ್ರಮ ಕ್ರಿಯಾ ತಂ ತಂ ಜನಪದಂ ಯಾತ ಸಂದೀಪಯದ ವೃಶ್ಚತ Sridhar Swami commenting on this verse points out that this is the Parama Mantra of Hiranyakashipu. What does it mean, Parama Mantra? This is his ultimate conclusion. This is his ultimate advice to his men, his swajanas. This is the purport. In a few verses, we're going to hear Hiranyakashipu preach very eloquently to his followers who were distraught about the death of Hiranyaksha. He's quite eloquent. The things that Hiranyakashipu says would make you think that he's very deeply spiritually realized, but his chanting is only parrot chanting. Srila Prabhupada said, you can train a parrot to chant Hare Krishna. Do you know this? Anybody seen it? In Mayapur, there's one bird somebody trained. The bird is chanting, Govinda, Damodar, Madhava. We hear that the gopis are also training parrots like this. But when there's a threat to the parent's life, what does the parent chant? Nonsense. So, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, Yatanto yoginash chainam pasyantyatman yavastadam Yatanto prakatatmano nainam a person who is endeavoring to follow these spiritual teachings, endeavoring to practice them, apply them, that person actually understands what's going on around him. That person can see everything in clear perspective. That person is unbewildered, a sammurha. In the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna told Krishna that he was sammurha, right? Anyone know the verse? He actually said he was dharma sammurha. He was bewildered about what is dharma. We're all in the same category because it's called yuga. Either we're confused about what the right dharma is, or we don't care about dharma, and we think that adharma is dharma, and dharma is adharma. This is when we're in the mode of passion and ignorance, respectively. So, we're in an unfortunate condition. Actually, Hiranyakashipu, he was also in this position. He considered adharma to be dharma, and he considered dharma to be adharma. So despite all of his eloquent preaching, he's actually working against the interest of Vishnu, deliberately, consciously, explicitly. And he's telling his followers, the ultimate advice that he's giving, go to those places where there are brahmanas, cows, Vedas, or as Prabhupada translates, Vedic culture, Varnashrama, dharma, and the kriyas of ritual activities in general, prescribed activities. tam tam janapadam yata sandipayata vrishchata. Two instructions he gives once you go there. Janapada means the city, or according to Sridhar Swami and others, means desha also, country, a place. Sailam is a janapada. It's a place, it's a city. I don't know if they're cutting trees here. These nasty plants that everyone is complaining about nowadays have taken over all the trees, it seems. Their roots go down 20 feet. They suck up all the water. You can't get rid of them. Why? Because it's not their dharma to be here. Their dharma is to be somewhere else. Some rascal brought them here for his own nefarious purposes, and now we have a problem, and we have to try to solve the problem. See what happens when you deviate from your dharma? It was not that person's dharma to bring these plants here also. But he had the bright idea, and as usual, all of our ideas to improve upon Vishnu's system, they create problems for us. So, janapadam yata sandipayata, set fire. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura says, set fire to these cities, set fire to these villages and towns, means set fire to the people inside of them also. Those places like, well, I was staying in Tiruchendur, in the Agrahadam there. All the pujaris are living in that neighborhood. And this was over the Christmas holiday. So the Christians came from the other side of town, and they had one of these trucks that are blasting music very loud, just like everybody who lives here knows that for the last few days we've been treated to a free concert all day long coming from the local market. It's their idea of charity. Charity, sacrifice, austerity should never be given up. So we have to listen to it. This is the problem with democracy. Yesterday I was sitting with Chitta Haripabu in the doctor's office. So the little girl next to us, she was playing on this computer games, making noise with it. He and I were trying to chant japa. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The rest of the people were watching television, because when you go to a hospital, this is what they do to keep you engaged. They want to make sure that you're engaged. So you don't really have a choice. You have to either listen to the television or the games of the little girl sitting next to you. And then if you complain about it, then you're causing a problem. Because it's democracy. And most people are naturally inclined towards hardcore sense gratification, which is what you're going to find on the television. And the little children are already being indoctrinated, even from preschool age. They're already being indoctrinated how to become a perfect consumer for the next generation of Google, Microsoft, IBM, etc., Lenovo, etc. products. Actually, I know for a fact that this is the truth, because at one time I was teaching in the elementary school system, and this is in the maybe late 1980s or early 1990s perhaps. And at that time, Bill Clinton was president of the United States. And the big corporations in those days who were manufacturing computers were either IBM or Apple. And they were fighting over the potential market that each one of them could possibly exploit. They were fighting over it. So Apple very wisely chose to target the young children in schools, kindergarten, elementary schools. Apple, somehow their people figured out their strategy would be to put all of their products in those schools so that the children are trained up on Apple products and cannot use the IBM products when they grow up. So they actually did this. And the result is that even now in India,
you see a girl sitting next to you in the doctor's office, completely absorbed. This is called bhavanimagna, bhavavipor, completely absorbed in this nonsense. So Srila Prabhupada is talking about how so much paper is used for this purpose also. Nowadays they're trying to discourage the use of paper because they realize we've got no trees left and we're not going to be able to breathe. Because you need green plants in order to breathe. They produce oxygen. At one time I used to live in the Pacific Northwest. In the Pacific Northwest, it's a little bit like Ceylon, in that you have mountains everywhere. But on top of those mountains, or covering everything, many big tall trees, pine forests. And I used to see that on the mountainside, there were big patches of squares that were completely blank, bald. And so I asked someone, when I first went there, I asked them, what is this? What, it's like a checkerboard. The mountain looked like, you know, it looked like when Rukmini had all of his hair cut off in patchy spots. So I'm asking this person, what's going on here? What is this? He said, oh, this is Weyerhaeuser. Weyerhaeuser is one of the chief producers of paper in the world, big corporation. They farm the trees. It's called clear cutting. They take two tractors, they space them maybe a quarter of a mile apart, and they put a chain between them. And they've got some sort of contraption that they just very quickly cut all the trees in one action. They're all cut down like that. And the result is that you see these big patches of empty mountainside, and it will take another 20 years to grow trees in that place. And they know this already because they've been doing it for longer than that. So they actually time it. They've got a staggered schedule for cutting down a certain place and planting another place. And in this way, they're just producing trees for the purpose of slaughtering trees. In exactly the same way that they're doing with the cows. They call this factory farming. They keep cows in slaughterhouses only they raise them. And you might say goshala for some time, but the idea is that they're going to be killed. So, and then the cows don't know until the last minute, and then what can they do? They can't do anything. So sinful. So Prabhupada says very rightly, this is the sign. These are the signs of demoniac civilization. So, here it's mentioned, dvija, gavo, etc. Among living beings, there are two mentioned here, the cows and the Brahmins. They're very prominent because we find in the Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever there's a question of real human civilization, these are the things that are mentioned. Brahmins, cows, Vaishnavas. Prahlad Maharaj tells us in the seventh canto that civilization in which the cows, Brahmins, and Vaishnavas are mistreated very quickly goes to ruin. I mentioned yesterday how we're seeing this South Asian civilization very quickly going to ruin. That ruin doesn't mean that you no longer have anything to eat, or that you cannot house or clothe your family members. Ruin means you forfeit your human status by rejecting dharma and becoming a two-legged animal. We've described many times. It is not a biological requirement to become a human being. It's a dharmic requirement. You have to act in terms of the shastra, then you're a human being. So, Brahmins, there are some mistreated people in human society. The Brahmins, certainly we see this. The cows, yes, definitely. Who else? Children. Children are abused so much in modern society, and it seems to be increasing. Even here in India, there was some news report, I think it was in Delhi. They found one man. People knew that something was wrong with him. But after some time, they realized that he had been killing children and eating them. This was in Delhi. Coming soon. Coming attractions. So, they're abusive to the Brahmins, they're abusive to the cows, they're abusive to the children. Naturally, they're abusive to women also. This is another big thing. That's why we have feminism. It's a reaction because they feel it. If only the cows could speak. If only the children were so eloquent. If only the Brahmins were not tolerant. See? And who else? We mentioned, we hinted
elders.
This. Huh?
Elders.
Old people. When you're old, what do they do with you? You cannot provide anyone any sense gratification. You are useless for that purpose when you're old. Even Shankaracharya recognizes this. Anybody know the verse? Just now I forget. He says, when you grow old and cannot provide money, yavat vitto parjana sakta, tavat nija parivaro rakta. As long as you can produce money, then your family members are attached to you. But as soon as the paschad jiviti jarjaradehe, when you later on are living in this old, decrepit body that basically is rotting while you're still in it, that's old age. Your body rots while you're still in it. And when it becomes too intolerable, then you just go. That's called death. Paschad jiviti jarjaradehe, vardam kopi na prichati dehe. Even in your own house, nobody's going to care to ask, how are you doing? They don't care. You see? Elder abuse. And then you get the rascals who come and prey on these people also. Because when you become old also, you can't think so clearly anymore. You can't remember anything. Before she died, my mother had a memory span of perhaps 3 days. Before 3 days ago, she couldn't remember anything. You see? So it's very easy. It's automatically easy to take advantage of children, to take advantage of women, to take advantage of weak people. Brahmins are also weak in certain ways. You see? But when you're old, it's so easy. And people come and they try to con them out of their life savings, money that they need for their doctors, because you really need doctors when you're old. So many unscrupulous people like that. These five classes of human beings, or these five classes of living entities, they're regularly abused. It's a primary characteristic of the Kali Yuga that we find. Brahmins, nobody cares for them. And, you know. I was told, I was in Hyderabad some couple of years ago. Somebody told me that if you want to get your son married, and he's a priest, nobody will marry him. They want that he should be financially well settled. He should be professionally situated, stable. But I just want to be Krishna conscious. Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. And then they look somewhere else. Anyway, too much dilation on that point. This is, so Panama Mantra. Shridhar Swami says here. Hiranyakashipu is giving his ultimate advice. This is his purport. Despite all the things that he'll preach to them later about you're not your body and suffering comes and goes and you have to tolerate and so many nice things he says. But you don't learn from what a person says. You have to learn from what a person does. And this is one of the lessons of life that are reserved for old age. When we're young, we are inexperienced. When we're young, we are also idealistic. And when we're young, we are therefore naive. And old age teaches us through experience that there are some really evil people in this world, and you've got to be careful. You can't just listen to what someone says. You have to see what that person does. Okay. So, nice, a very instructive story from Hitopadesh. You may have heard. There was an old tiger. Tigers. What do tigers do? How do they maintain themselves? Anybody been to Sundarbans? Anything Bengalis here? They eat people. That's what tigers do. So there was an old tiger, and this tiger was too weak to fight or to eat people anymore. So this tiger put on saffron cloth and tulsi neck beads and Gaudiya Vaishnava tilak and decided that I'm going to sit by the side of the temple tank and I'm going to become a sannyasi. So people would come to bathe. In those days, people used to bathe in the temple tank. Nowadays, we bathe in who knows what kind of water. But I was recently in Mappedu. You know where this is? Outside of Chennai, small place. There's an old temple of Lord Shiva established by Krishna Devarai there, Singhishwara. And his consort, of course, is not far away. She's called, I forget what they call her, some Tamil name. And then the temple tank is there, but the temple tank is dry. So I was talking with some local devotees, what happened to the temple tank? They said, oh, the pujaris sold that, they let the water go dry, and they sold that property so that they can build something, maybe some apartments or some parking lot or something, so that they can make money. Why do they need to make money? Because nobody cares about them. Why does nobody care about them? Because they don't care about God. If they were doing something, if they were having Brahmotsava regularly, if they were preaching enthusiastically, then people would have respect. People would be enthused. People would be enlightened and elevated. And they would want to give something. When we don't preach, then this is what happens. On the other hand, what we're talking about today is preaching without actually following. That's the essential thing. For those who have recognized the value of preaching, we have to also recognize the value of, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, first you behave nicely, then preach. Apani achari. So, to finish the story, this tiger, he was sitting by the side of the temple tank, and the pilgrims would come and take their bath, and then he would offer to give them tilak. Sometimes you see in the holy places that they're still there. If you go to Banaras, they're still sitting on the side of the Ganga, and they will do this for you. This is how they maintain. So, nobody would come to this tiger. Now, who's going to trust a tiger? So he said, no. I've actually reformed myself. Let me tell you. I've studied all the Dharma Shastras, and I've realized in the wisdom of my maturity that it's not good what I've been doing my whole life, killing people and eating them. I've reformed myself, and now to atone for my previous sinful life, I've decided to sit here and offer gold to people as a charity. So please, take this gold bracelet. Do we know another story in which someone was offered a gold bracelet? Anyone familiar with the Shruti Mantras? It's in the, maybe I want to say, Katha Upanishad. Wake up. Hey. And he's out. Let him sleep. Hey. So, he was offering, I think it was Yamaraj, Shvetaketu. He wanted to know about what's on the other side of death. Is there some person? He's asking, is God a person? And Yamaraj is trying, he doesn't want to go there. Yamaraj says, okay, listen, I'll give you cars, I'll give you women, houses, money, prestige, anything you want. Take this golden chain immediately, just as gratuity. But don't ask about this. We mentioned the other day, the devas, sometimes they get nervous when you try to become Krishna conscious. Because it's power. Power. So anyway, so this tiger is also giving a gold chain in charity to anybody who will listen to him, but nobody will listen to him. Finally, one gullible person comes one day, and the tiger offers him the gold chain, and this person was maybe probably greedy, so he took the gold chain. So he said, just bathe here, and when you come out, I'll give you 2 lakh also. So the person went to take his bath in the tank, and I don't know how you say this in Tamil, quicksand. The sand you sink into it, huh? You find it sometimes like that. So this person got stuck there in the quicksand. He couldn't move. So the tiger said, okay, very good. And he went and ate him. So the moral of the story is that it doesn't matter how many shastras a person can speak. At the end of the day, swabhava tadati vichyate. It is your swabhava that stands out above everything else. And it's not very often that a person actually changes this swabhava in the human form of life. It's a little bit discouraging, isn't it? At least for me it is. But actually it's a fact that there is no process more potent for this very purpose than chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hiranyakashipu was not willing to do that. You see? He was not willing. And so he had to suffer the results of his own sinful activities. We are voluntarily chanting Krishna's name. And therefore the Lord... Krishna is also the most merciful manifestation of Vishnu. Did you know this? You want to hear about this? There are 3 forms of Lord Vishnu that are prominent, according to the Shastra. Rupa Goswami has elaborated on this in his Lagu Bhagavatamrita. What are those 3 forms? Ramachandra.
Narasimha.
Narasimha. And Krishna. Ramachandra, we know. His activity, his leelas are too attractive. And Narasimha is also major incarnation. Srila Prabhupada instituted worship of Narasimha Deva in ISKCON for the protection of the society and for the protection of its members, mind you. So, when Narasimha Deva came and appeared before Hiranyakashipu, that was a special mercy. This Jaya-Vijaya, they were cursed. Of course, in this particular story, we know from Bhagavatam, they were actually devotees in Vaikuntha, Dwarapalas. But every time Jaya-Vijaya comes, and they're demons actually, they're not always devotees. Sometimes they're real demons, genuine demons. So they're killed every time by Ramachandra. Who did Ramachandra kill?
Ravana.
Yeah, so... first is Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu. Then there's Ravana and Kumbhakarna. And then in Krishna Lila there's Shishupal and Dandavakra. So the Jaya Vijaya, they're coming. When Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimha, he did not have any idea who he was dealing with. He had no idea that this was Vishnu. He died in complete ignorance of who had killed him. But because Vishnu killed him, this is from Vishnu Purana. This is Parashar Muni. Rupa Goswami in his Lagu Bhagavatam is quoting Vishnu Purana, in case you're wondering. So, when Hiranyakashipu was killed by Narasimha, he had no idea who it was. He just thought this was an extraordinary creature that happened to be very, very strong. There was nobody that Hiranyakashipu could not defeat. But he had trouble with this one. And he didn't know what was happening. He was just bewildered. So he died in ignorance of Lord Vishnu's identity. But because he was killed by Vishnu, he had unrivaled opulence in his next life, which was Ravana. And he had the same project. He wanted to control the entire everything. He wanted to be God. But because he had that passionate nature still as a result of dying in ignorance, even though he was benedicted with tremendous opulence, he was given sarshti mukti by Narasimha Deva. Then he continued his passionate agenda. And what happens when you're in the mode of passion? What is the ultimate attraction of the mode of passion? So he got involved with the wrong woman. He offended the most chaste of all goddesses, the consort, personal consort of the Supreme Personality, Godhead Sita Devi. Because of his egregious offenses to Sita Devi, he had to get smashed. And this time, when Ramchandra came to get him, of course, Ramchandra killed him again. And this time he knew that Ramchandra was actually Vishnu. And so he died in knowledge that Lord Vishnu had killed him. But he was so envious that still he didn't go back to Godhead, even though he was killed by Ramchandra for the second time. Then he took birth, again with great opulence, as Shishupal. This time, the envy that was produced by the recognition of who had killed him in his last life. If you think about it, this envy was going all the way from Hiranyakashipu, because it was his brother who was killed by Vishnu, and he knew that. So he hated Vishnu for that reason. His whole purpose now is to get revenge to Lord Vishnu for killing his brother. So this hatred was there, and it became the prominent characteristic of his demoniac attitude as Shishupal. Bhagavatam describes, Shishupal was constantly meditating on Krishna unfavorably. Constantly, he could not forget Krishna at any time, all day long, all night long. He was absorbed in seething hatred of Lord Vishnu. So he was Krishna conscious in some sense, but unfavorably so. So he didn't exactly get love of God, but this is the point of the story. Rupa Goswami explains, because he was chanting Krishna's name, even in pure hatred, I mean almost pure hatred, 100% hatred, but because he was in contact with Krishna, he gradually was building up a jnata sukriti. It was turning into what we call a critical mass of this influence, of jnata sukriti, such that when he found himself in the Raj Sabha blaspheming Krishna so many times, he's getting closer and closer to his goal, to the ultimate resolution of the pastime. And we know that he had been given the curse that you can blaspheme Krishna 100 times and he will tolerate it, but after that you will be finished. So Krishna's just sitting there doing nothing. All of his ministers and servants, they're barely restraining themselves because they just want to cut his head off right away. And Krishna's saying, no, just let him go. We have a saying in English, if you give someone a rope that's long enough, he'll eventually hang himself with it. So this is what Krishna is doing with Shishupal. So Krishna, in his mind, he's not even saying anything, but in his mind he's counting 97, 98, 99. So in the 100th time that Shishupal is blaspheming Krishna, at that point, Krishna says, okay, you're out of here, mister. And he let his chakra go. At that point only, Shishupal had reached sufficient ajnata sukriti that everything became revealed to him all in one flash. As he watched his chakra coming towards his neck, he realized, oh my God, this is my eternal beloved master, Lord Vishnu. And he remembered everything. And at that point, he died with full recognition of his Krishna consciousness, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura says, and he was reinstated in his eternal constitutional position. So Rupa Goswami says the point of this story is to show that just as Krishna manifests more of the potencies than any other form of Lord Vishnu, his primary quality, you can say, is his mercy. and Krishna displays his mercy more than anyone else does. So, therefore, those who were killed by Krishna, for example, on the battle at Kurukshetra, they get liberated, for sure. And there's a particularly famous example of Krishna's mercy, which has put devotees into ecstasy for millennia. We find it in the Bhagavatam, we find it in other places also. Pundarik Vidyananthi, he went into ecstasy when he heard this verse also. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Aho bhagi yamstana kala kuta jagam sayam apya bhayayapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatriyo chitam tatonya kam vadayadum sharanam vijayama. When Putana came with a similar intention as Hiranyakashipu to kill Lord Krishna, Krishna actually, he killed her by sucking the milk from her breast, and sucking the poison as well as her live eggs. But she was given a position as Dhatri, Krishna in the spiritual world, in Goloka. Krishna considered, yes, she's a demon, I know very well who she is. Baka and Baki, their brother and sister. Just like in Mathura, we have famous temple at Vishvanti Ghat, Yama Yami. Who is that? Yamaraj and Yamuna. What does Yamuna mean? It's a corruption, actually. It's a crystallized corruption in the Sanskrit language itself. The actual word should be Yama Anuja, the younger sister of Yamaraj. But even in Sanskrit, it's become corrupted and it turns into Yamuna. And now we know her as Yamuna. Anyway, she's Yamaraj's sister. So similarly, Bakasura, the duck demon, and his sister was Baki, better known as Putana. So Krishna thought, this woman has come to me in the form of my mother. We know the story. None of the Vrijavasis stopped her because she was so beautiful. Just like Hiranyakashipu's words of solace preaching to his relatives are so beautiful. The Vrijavasis were fooled. Why? Because they were naive. You see? So, Krishna thought, she's coming to me as my mother, therefore let me give her the position of nursemaid in the spiritual world. And he did that. Even she wanted to kill him. Therefore, Krishna is more merciful than any other form of God. And Rupa Goswami has stated this, another thing which is related to this, that sometimes even when somebody ardently worships Lord Krishna very seriously for some purpose, Krishna doesn't fulfill their desire. But Rupa Goswami says, Bhakti Devi, Raja Devi, fulfills the desire of anybody who just exists in Vrindavan, in Vraja Mandala. If you visit the holy land where Lord Krishna performed his pastimes, all you have to do is be there. And without any question of whether you've done any bhajan or not, Bhakti Devi gives you pure love of God. What an incredible benediction. So we are worshipping Krishna. And Krishna is the most kind-hearted of all the forms of the Lord. So even though we may come from Hiranyakashipu-like backgrounds, and even though this swabhava is so hard to transcend, and even though we commit so many mistakes and offenses and sinful activities, if we take wholehearted shelter of this most merciful form of Lord Krishna in the Kali Yuga, the holy name, then Krishna will take us back to God. As Srila Prabhupada said, in one lifetime, you can do this. There's another nice verse from Padyavali. I think the author is anonymous because Padyavali is a collection of poems from many different authors. So he says, Dina Bandhur iti nama te smaran. Yadavendra patitoham utsahe bhakta vatsalataya tvai shrute mamakam hridayam ashukam pade. He says, Dina Bandhu, Lord Dina Bandhu, He said, I'm the most fallen person. Your name is Dinabandhu, but you know that I'm nothing but fallen. Dinabandhuriti namate smaran. Yadavendra patitoham utsehe. Yadavendra, you know how fallen I am. Bhakta vatsalataya tvaishute. But I just have to hear about how much you love your devotees. And my heart trembles, and I get some hope. This is called by Rupa Goswami, Asha Bandha in Sanskrit. In his Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, he has a very beautiful verse written by his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami. He says, Na prema shravanadi bhaktirapiva yogothava vaishnavo nanam va shubhakarma va kiyadaho sadjatirapyastiva hinarthatika sadhake tvaita thapya chedya mula sati. He gopi jana vallabha yatayate paha madashairaman. He says, I don't have any prema. I don't even have any real attachment to the process of developing prema, sadhana bhakti. Na prema shravanadi bhakti raviva. Shravanadi means sadhana bhakti because it begins with hearing. Jnanam va, I don't have any knowledge. Shubha karma va, I've never done any real pious activities, strictly speaking. I've never done anything auspicious. And on top of that, I'm not even born in a nice family. Sanatan Goswami said this. He was a GSB, actually, Sarasat Brahmins. So, but this was his attitude. He said, I don't find any means by which I can elevate myself, Gopi Jana Vallabha, and this is giving me tremendous pain. What will I do? I can only take shelter of your lotus feet and just beg you sincerely that you please do something special for me. The poet Vidyapati has written a very beautiful song in Maithili language that's very similar. He says, Madhava he dei tulasi tila deha samarpina daya jani na charavi mor. He said, I'm offering my body to you in exactly the same way that we offer tulsi leaf at your lotus feet. This body is like a tulsi leaf, he says. I'm offering it to you. I know your mercy. I know you won't reject me. He says, Ganaite dosa gunalesana paosi. If you examine me, you will find that I don't have any good qualities. I'm only made out of flaws. Jabatu karvi bichar. When you consider, tumhun jagannatha jagate kahaosi, everybody in the universe is calling you Jagannath. Jagannath means you're the Lord of this universe, and everybody within it is calling you Jagannath. Jagabahir nahi muichar. So please don't exclude me. I'm also part of that universe. He says, Kie manusha pashu paki je janamiye. You can make me into a human being, you can make me into an animal, you can make me into a bird or an insect. I don't mind. But he says, whatever you make me into, tavamati tua parasange, may my mind always be on your lotus feet. May I still be a devotee, he's saying. May I never forget your lotus feet. Bhanaye vidyapati atishayakatara. Vidyapati says, he signs his name in the end, atishayakatara. This is hard to translate. He's feeling exceedingly ashamed of himself, exceedingly embarrassed. Bhanaye vidyapati atishayakatara taraite ilha bhavasindhu. He says, take me out of this world. Tua para pallava kari avalambana. I take shelter of your lotus feet. Tila ek deha niyambandhu. This bomb, after all, is nothing but a tulsi leaf. Very insignificant thing. One person you can give mercy. So, we are not going to learn this from Hiranyakashipu, but we can learn the proper thing from Srila Prabhupada, and we can learn what not to do from Hiranyakashipu. It's very unfortunate, as Srila Prabhupada has brought to our attention. Srila Prabhupada wrote this purport in, probably would have been around 1976, or 75, 76, 77. Around that time, Srila Prabhupada wrote this, these words. And Srila Prabhupada was lamenting the situation of the world, even at that time. Now we've seen how much worse it's become. So much worse. So Srila Prabhupada is asking this question here. How is it possible for people to live peacefully? And then he answers his own question. It is impossible. But Rupa Goswami prays in another very beautiful song, Durghata Ghatana Vidhatri. He said, prays to Lord Krishna for his mercy. He says, even though yadyapi samadhishu, what is it? Vidhidapi napashyati. He says that, I'm hoping that you will give me a place at your lotus feet. Even though Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, they're also trying to gain this thing that I'm asking for, and they can't. He said, but I know that your mercy can accomplish impossible things. So we often feel that we have impossible tasks to accomplish, because we do. Actually, everything is impossible without Krishna's mercy. But with Krishna's mercy, anything is possible. Mukam kuroti vachalam pangam lankhayate girim yat kripatam aham vande paramanandam madhavam. By Krishna's mercy, even a lame person can jump over mountains. Even a blind person can count the stars in the sky at night. And even a mute person can recite eloquent poetry. So, similarly, by the divine grace of Krishna, even we can become Krishna conscious, and even we can change this world for the better through Krishna consciousness. I'm going to stop here, but if anybody has any questions or any comments, we can maybe discuss those. No. Okay, thank you very much. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Lord Bhaktavinoda ki jai. Actually, please don't go. Translate. I have some prasadam that I'd like to distribute to everyone here. Mahaprasadam. This Mahaprasadam is from Sri Sri Krishna Balaram in Vrindavan Dham. It's not every day you get prasadam from Krishna and Balaram. So if you want prasadam from Krishna and Balaram, you can please come and I will give you. Hare Krishna.